Thanks. Good evening, everyone. This is the National Finance Committee meeting of September 22nd, 2015. I'm the chair, Brian Edwards-Tiekert. I'd like to ask our secretary, R. Paul Martin, to please call the roll.
Okay. Lydia Bazan.
Here.
Adriana Kasanov.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman.
President.
Michael Novick.
President.
Serene Roberts. Nancy Sorden. Barbara Whipperman. Okay, that's eight. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I sent out a proposed agenda for this meeting. We will probably want to make some of the items on here time certain, but we'll need a motion to approve the agenda before we can make any changes to it.
Mr. Chairman, I did not receive an agenda, so I'm running a little bit in the blind, if that's okay.
John, are you not getting emails to the National Finance Listserv?
Oh, I can't get mail to it, but I get emails from you. But I don't remember. I didn't see the agenda. Unless you have a date and time, you can tell me when you sent it, because I'll check it carefully.
I will resend a copy to you.
Thanks.
Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
Serene.
Thank you, Serene. The agenda as proposed, for the benefit of anyone who doesn't have it over them, is minutes approval, and then budget review and approval, starting with the National Office and Pacifica Radio Archive, a motion on budgeting for depreciation and capital expense, should the committee wish to take it up. Preliminary review of the WPFW budget. I should mention we do not yet have budget proposals from National, the Archive, or W. And then second reviews of budgets from KPFA, KPFK, KPFT, and WBAI in that order. We have several members of station management who've agreed to attend the call, so those are the items to which I would like to assign time certain, so they're not waiting while we deal with something else. And I apologize, John. I may have to close and reopen my browser because my email is not being compliant. Can anybody else forward a copy of the agenda to John Proffitt? Does anybody else have it up in front of
them? Yeah, I have it.
Thanks.
ED at Pacifica, okay? Or?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So the first change I'd like to propose is making the KPFA budget item, which is currently E1, time certain at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. That's when KPFA's business manager has agreed to join us. Is there any objection to that?
Could you say that again?
Make item E1, KPFA budget second review, time certain for 9 o'clock Eastern. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that amendment is now part of the agenda. Michael, you said the general manager from KPFK is able to join us tonight?
Yeah, you had proposed 6:30 time certain. That's what I sent her, and she said yes.
Okay.
So,
thank you for that. I still can't pull up the email thread. So the second proposed amendment is to make item E2, KPFK budget review, a time certain of 9:30 Eastern. Is there any objection to that?
Want to count to two and say that again?
The proposal is to make agenda item E2, KPFK budget review, time certain at 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern. Is there any objection to that proposal? Hearing none, that amendment is now incorporated into the agenda. And Bertold Reimers, did he agree to the time certain of 10 o'clock Eastern, Paul?
I hadn't seen it, but let me check right now, and there is something. He says 10:30, 10:45 p.m. is when I will be available.
Okay. I'll propose making item E 4, which is WBAI Budget Review, time certain at 10:30 Eastern. Is there any objection to that?
Which is that item, which?
Letter E, number 4, WBAI. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, that is now incorporated into the agenda. Does anyone wish to propose any further changes to the agenda?
Could you tell me exactly when you sent the agenda out? Because I've now had to skip away from it. So it will be helpful finding it again if I can know just when you sent it.
I first sent it on Tuesday, September 15th.
Oh, is that why it looks like it's there? All right, and we haven't, and what we are dealing with now is amended only by what we've just done here.
Correct.
Yes, there were a long string of responses.
Yeah, I know. I wish people would change the header thing, because there's everything in the world under these agendas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not hearing any further proposed amendments to the agenda. So is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Hearing none, the agenda is now approved. We're on to minutes approval. The only outstanding minutes we have are from September 15th, 2015. I apologize if I missed it, but did you have a chance to send them out?
Nope, they're still a work in progress.
Okay, well then we don't need to spend any time on this item. The next item is budget review and approval, and the first two items we have are the National Office and the Pacifica Radio Archive budget, which we've been expecting drafts of for some time. John, maybe you and Efren could give us an update on where those are at.
Efren, are you on the call yet?
Hello, this is Efren.
Hey, Efren.
Hi.
You're asking about the National Office budget.
I'm still completing the National Office budget. Actually, my plan was really to be able to complete that for this meeting, but well, you know, there's been a lot of things that took our attention, and I'm still in the process of completing the National Office budget.
Do you have an estimate when you think it'll be ready, Efren?
I should be able to complete that in 2 days.
2 days. Very good.
And we've kind of gotten nothing but radio silence from the Pacifica Radio Archive, John. Do you know where they're at with budget preparation?
I do not know, but I can certainly inquire. They should have been up to date with it. Excuse me.
Actually, the Pacifica Radio Archive's budget, I have completed that long ago, and the only thing that needed revisions were the estimates for the premium sales that they will be making to the stations. Although, of course, that will depend on the stations' respective projections, because they will need those figures.
It may be that Brian and Mariana are still waiting for some commitments to purchase premiums. That may be the holdup. I'm speculating. I don't know, but
yeah, most likely, because they need, for their revenue, they need to give their estimates of the projected premium sales. They can have the projected premium sales for outside parties or other than Pacifica, but they also need that premium sales from the stations.
Okay, that's a pretty minor budget item for them. Can you forward us the budget in its current form so that we can at least look at it and familiarize ourselves with it? Yes.
That will be basically the raw budget, meaning I'm not sure if they have what revisions they have made, but I'll send to you. I'll just have to, maybe what I'll do is I'll need to find it. Can I just go out of the meeting right now and then I'll send you the budget and then I go back?
Well, wait a second. I don't want us to have competing versions from you and the Pacifica Radio Archive. So who's doing version control on the budget?
Should be Mariana. Because okay. You would assume Brian would assign that to her.
Okay. So can you ask her to send you their current draft of the budget so that you can forward it to the committee?
Yeah, I'll call them.
Yeah, well, I'm not expecting us to be able to have, like, an intelligent conversation about it now because no one's had a time to look at it before the meeting. But we need to get it out as quickly as possible so people have time to look at it before the next one.
Yeah, okay, so it doesn't have to be right now, yeah.
No, but it has to be very soon.
To be together with the National.
I'll
postpone attending to any other RAS matters tomorrow and Thursday. I'll just concentrate on National. I mean, whatever it is. You know, I hope you understand the situation in National office. I really do not want to be neglecting completion of that project, but there's been a lot of things going.
No, we all understand that you are doing three people's jobs, and that all three of those people whose jobs you are doing have impossible jobs. And I certainly don't want you to prioritize it over making a payment or a cash transfer that will keep us from getting sued. But we need a plan.
Yes, yes.
We can't just do crisis management. Okay, that's the National Office and the Pacifica Radio Archive. We are on to item 4C, which is budgeting for depreciation and capital expense. I put this on our agenda coming out as a discussion item that Bill Crozier raised when we were discussing KPFA's budget. And he pointed out that there was no allowance for depreciation in the budget. The budgeting practice that we adopted network-wide last year was to budget on the depreciation line the amount derived from each station's depreciation schedule. But because that is a non-operating expense, to zero it out by an adjustment on each unit's bottom line. That wasn't baked into the budget template this year because all the stations are working with a new budget template. So depreciation's currently accounted for inconsistently in draft budgets. What I've put on our agenda is a motion that would codify what all the units did last year. It reads as follows, quote, all units should budget for planned capital expenses on the capital expenditures line of the budget template, row 42, and budget for depreciation on line 6655, and offset budgeted depreciation by making an equal and opposite adjustment to their capital expenditures line. So, the question is whether we want that practice adopted network-wide. I heard Bill. Anyone else?
Hello.
A comment?
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like this. You would notice that the template has both, on the page one is the annual budget, and next is the cash flow projection. So that, and then after that is the reconciliation, meaning the net income in the annual budget should be reconciled with the net cash receipts or disbursements under the cash flow. And that the difference will be shown under the reconciliation. Now, in the budget, in the annual budget, we can always show the we should always show the depreciation. But in the annual cash flow, next to the annual budget, the cash flow page, you will notice there is no depreciation because that is a non-cash expense. Instead, in the cash flow, you will see the lower part would be the capital expenditures, if any. So that what you mentioned is like a like in the annual budget, and then in the lower part will be the capital expenditures. That is being taken care of in the cash flow projection. The cash flow involves all the cash items, including the capital expenditures. I do not know if I have explained it fully or if everybody understood what I said. Basically, if you look at the cash flow, at the annual budget on page one, and the next page is the cash flow, you will notice that the cash flow contains only all cash items, revenue and disbursement. and then in the annual budget would be the it would include the depreciation as well as accruals.
Okay, I heard Bill, who lost the stack. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Efren. I agree that we do need to be consistent between all stations, and I agree with what Efren was saying, that depreciation should be included in the budget, because it is an expense. And I know a lot of people get confused about why that it's not cash flow, but on an accrual basis of accounting, as we are in most other organizations of any size, it's an expense. We don't count the expense of capital items in the year that they're bought, but we, you know, more or less required to amortize that, split it up, pay it out over years, or account it as an expense over years, and that's what depreciation is. So it's a real
right.
expense for items that were purchased previously, and so that's why it has to go in. But I don't think it's appropriate to offset it with an adjustment in the capital expenditures line. I realize the cash flow will show different amounts than what's in the income statement, but the budget should reflect what the income statement is going to be, because if we don't budget for that properly, we're guaranteed to have a deficit next year. And offsetting depreciation with something called some sort of adjustment in the capital expenditures line just doesn't seem appropriate. And I wish we could get an independent accountant to give us an opinion on that, but it just doesn't seem like that's the right thing to do, and it just seems like it's going to require that we have a deficit next year by the amount of the depreciation, which of course will vary for different stations. But I know for KPFA and K, they're both in the order, I think, around $100,000 a year, which is somewhat significant.
This is Brian. I'll put myself on the stack next, and I hear Lydia. I'll put you on right behind me. You know, the issue is that the budget is a plan for operations, and depreciation is not an operating expense. You don't cut a check to anyone for depreciation. And the independent CPA who audited our books for several years, Ross Wisdom, wrote a letter to the board explaining that, which has been forwarded to the members of this committee now. And the fact of the matter is our budgeting convention has been to budget separately for major capital expenditures. If you're budgeting for both depreciation and capital purchases, then you're budgeting for the same thing twice, which has a very distortionary impact on the budget. So what does it mean in real world terms for KPFA to budget for depreciation that it will never spend? Well, our biggest depreciation item, which is about $70,000 per year out of $80,000 and change per year in depreciation, is KPFA's building, because we built this building. It's on a 30-year depreciation schedule. The 30 years will be up in 7 years, and at the end of those 7 years, KPFA will still have a fully functional building. We'll have a fully functional building whose market value was greater than it was at the time that KPFA built it, unless there is some radical change in Bay Area real estate markets. But the value of the building on KPFA's books, you know, because of depreciation, will be zero. It's an accounting artifact. And the depreciation system that exists in the world of accounting was largely conceived of for the purposes of helping for-profit businesses write off capital expenses over multiple years against their taxes. It's not of operational significance when we budget separately on an item-by-item basis for capital outlays. Next on stack, I have Lydia. Who else? Adriana?
I would
go ahead, Lydia.
Also later.
Okay.
So what was recommended by Ross Wisdom, or what he said? I mean, he said you could do it either way, but that the preferred way is to have a separate budget for the capital expenses for all the reasons that Brian just articulated. And I won't repeat everything he said, because part of it was what I was going to say. But that's the bottom line. I think either zero out the two as we did last year, or include it and then zero that, or we can have a separate budget as was articulated in the independent auditor's memo to us And I think that's it. And I think we've talked this to death. This is the second meeting we've done this. But what we do need is some consistency. We need to choose and do it now. Thank you.
Thank you, Lydia. Adriana, you're next.
I think that I heard John asking for a point of information. Maybe I'm wrong.
I did. Adriana, it was just simply to point out, as Lydia did, that this issue is addressed by Armanino and their management letter, and we need to follow what the auditors recommend, not going off on a tangent that's going to cause us problems with the audit. That's all.
Okay. What I can see, in our last, in July 31st, 2015 statement, you can see that we have the line 111, 65, 55, 66, 55 depreciation expenses. You have a KPFA, you have every year since 2011 to July of this year putting their depreciation expenses. I don't understand why we will check it, why we will change it. I went, I mean, I cannot, this said really perfectly. I mean, depreciation expenses is a real expense that you have. That's why you have, for different things that you have a util, a life that could be 3, 5, or whatever. And it's totally different than capital expenditures. Are two different lines. For example, in KPFT, we have depreciation expenses that have to do with the practical life of what we use. In capital expenditure, we are putting there the money that we are building, are putting against the transmitter that we have. Obviously, we cannot, I mean, that is a very clear difference between the two things. I never saw any budget that doesn't consider depreciation expenses. And if you see the budget that the auditors every year give us back, it's always depreciation expenses. I don't understand how can we avoid it.
Mark Austin.
Okay. I have Efren, then R. Paul, and we do have 3 minutes remaining until we have to come to a vote on this.
Okay.
Quickly, Efren.
I would like to add this. The template, you will notice, as I said earlier, the page one basically is the annual budget. The annual budget is what corresponds to the audited income statement. The audited income statement shows depreciation. Now, next to that page, annual budget page, you will notice cash flow. The cash flow does not show depreciation, but it shows the capital expenditures, if any, is planned. That is why the annual budget does not include the capital expenditures. It is basically a cash item. That's why it is shown in the next page in the cash flow. Is it clear? I mean, did I make myself clear? The annual budget does not include the capital expenditures. This
Efren, you only need to make the point once. We're very short on time. Our Paul is next.
Yeah, I think it's important to put depreciation in the right place. Basically, it really relates to your assets and, certain things, as the word implies, get more useless as time goes by. Transmitters are an example. And so, you pay $100,000 for a transmitter now, and X number, like 10 years from now, it's how much is it going to really be worth as an asset when you're showing your assets? Well, it's going to be worth pretty close to zero, and that's the way it works. So I think that's where it needs to go in, that kind of thing. But in terms of budgeting for Pacifica stations and the way we have to try and keep track of the money and hope we get money, I think that it's not a big necessary thing the way some folks think it is. So I think it's for your assets and not much else.
Bill again, okay. Vistac.
We are out of time on this item because we have a time certain starting 40 seconds from now. Arpal, could you read the motion and then call the roll on it?
I move we postpone consideration of this till later in the meeting when we have more time to discuss it.
Postpone to a specific point on the agenda or to table?
I guess table.
Okay. Motion from Crozier is to table. Is there any objection?
Yes, this is Lydia.
Arpal, please call the vote on the motion to table.
Okay, the motion is to table the motion that's currently on the floor. Lydia Bazan?
No.
Adriana Kasanov?
Yes.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Brian Edwards Steaker?
No.
Hello, this is Nancy.
Yes. Tony Norman?
No.
Michael Novick?
No.
Serene Roberts? I didn't hear.
Did you? Was I called?
Yes. Serene Roberts?
No, to table.
Nancy Sorden?
Abstain. I just got on. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Barbara Whipperman. Okay, it's 3-4, 5 against, 1 abstention.
Now we'll take a vote on the main motion. This is item 4C on the agenda. Paul, could you please read the motion, then call the vote?
Yeah, give me a second.
Hello?
Our secretary is shuffling papers.
Okay.
This is the dramatic pause before the vote.
Okay. No, this is sure we all know what we're voting on. All right, the motion is all units should budget for planned capital expenses on the capital expenditures line of the budget template, open paren, row 42, close paren, budget for depreciation on line 6655, and offset budgeted depreciation by making an equal and opposite adjustment to their capital expenditures line. Lydia Bazan.
Yes.
Adriana Kasanov.
No.
Bill Crozier.
No.
Brian Edwards Teekert.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin. Pass. Tony Norman.
Yes.
Michael Novick.
Yes.
Serene Roberts. Serene Roberts. Nancy Sorden.
Yes.
Barbara Whipperman. Okay, going back. R. Paul Martin. Abstain. Serene Roberts. I'm not hearing anything. I have 5-4, 2 against, 1 abstention.
All right, motion carries. We are on to the KPFA budget. Has Maria Negrete joined the call?
I am here.
Thank you for joining us. Mm-hmm. There have been no changes to the budget since the version that we reviewed last week, but wanted you all to have an opportunity to ask any questions you might have of the person who worked most closely on the budget. I'll take a stack.
Can you remind us what the email was that had that budget last time? Because I was digging around and I couldn't find it. I'll be able to look at it while we're...
Give me 1 second. I will resend it to the listserv.
Okay, thank you.
It's not the same as what you sent us, Michael, just a little while ago?
No, we're talking about KPFA here. Not KPFA.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm asking for the KPFA.
Michael, do you want Excel or PDF format?
I don't care.
Okay. I'll forward the Excel version. The most recent copy was sent out September 15th.
Could I ask the name and title of the person doing the presentation?
Maria Negrete, N-E-G-R-E-T, KPFA Business Manager.
G
jack of all trades.
I have it. Where's that for 50? That's fine.
Okay, great. Questions on KPFA's budget? Well, this could be a very short guest appearance, Maria.
That's no problem.
Bill?
I thought you might have something, Bill. All right, I've got Bill. Anyone else? Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, well, I'll start out with something hopefully easy. On the CRAS Fair, I'm kind of confused. It shows not very many expenses, and as I just make sure I understand this, the income, the only revenue we get from it is from the door, the admission. Is that correct?
Okay. Let me explain. This is something completely new. In the past, we have the CRAS Fair coordinator was a KPFA employee. She also has a business in which she puts on CRAS Fairs elsewhere. And she has basically resigned as a KPFA employee and is doing the CRAS Fair all on her own with her own business. However, the only expenditures that we will have is if and when, which we generally will have some live music. So our only expenditure is for the live music at the CRAS Fair, and she will be giving us all of the income from the door. In the past, what the income that we used to get were from the booth fees, but of course there were tremendous amount of expenses associated with it. And so basically KPFA is getting $30,000, hopefully more, for the December fair, and $20,000 for June, and basically for doing nothing but housing her in our building.
And promoting the CRAS Fair on it.
And promoting the CRAS Fair,
and we don't pay her any salary or benefits anymore?
Nope. And she has resigned as a KPFA employee.
And we're not paying anybody, any other paid staff any for that?
Nope. No, but she takes care of everything. And for me in the business office, it's, I mean, I loved working with her, but, oh, it was a lot of work. So now we will be writing no checks, receiving, not having to process deposits, nothing. It's basically just collecting two checks, one in December, one in June.
Okay, thank you. I was just worried about expenses that we weren't seeing, so thank
yep.
you.
Nope, yeah, I know. It's the best deal we could ever ask for.
Okay, I'll let other people go on now. I may come back for more questions.
Other questions on KPFA's budget?
Paul.
I've got our Paul. Anyone else? Go ahead, our Paul.
Michael.
Yeah. Okay, on the sticking on the CRAS Fair for a second. Mm-hmm. So KPFA gets the gate.
Yes.
And who works on the gate?
She contracts with a company that does that as that's what they do. They do this for fairs and CRAS Fairs and, you know, any events. It's a corporate company that she contracts with.
Uh-huh. And they're all bonded, I guess.
Yeah, and that's, I gotta say, that's all on her because she pays for them on her own. We don't pay for them. So we just get the net of the door, whatever the money is coming in at the door.
All right. Now I'm looking in here at the I'm looking at line 42.
Yes.
And okay, the way this template is it's looking strange. Okay, so FY15 is projecting, it looks like 639.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And going down, I am not used to this new template, I have to say. Going down, where is our bottom line on the line? Which line is bottom line?
It is line 42.
Yeah.
Okay.
The bottom line is hiding in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll adjust. Yeah. All right, so you're projecting that 1 year from now, KPFA will be 639 grand.
No, that's That's current. That's fiscal year 15. But you have to remember that we received the huge bequests. We had two bequests that came in.
Right.
In the springtime.
I have to say, I think the font Arial Narrow size 7 is difficult on some of us with older eyes.
Can you enlarge the view? So
yeah,
if you do the
I'm
zoom,
doing that, which means I'm going to have to scroll through half a mile of it.
Right, I know.
Now, okay, and on line 42, are we looking at? Oh, should I be looking at
column O, line 42? So O42 is $4,000 surplus.
Okay.
Now that is a that's a very conservative surplus. Because on the fund drive pledge details, which is a separate tab, I actually have pledges raised at 95%, but we have been coming in excess of that. So,
okay. So the bottom line is, at 1 year from now, KPFA is going to be $4,000 in the black.
Yes. But I do anticipate that we'll have more. However, we are prepared to, you know, make cuts as we need to if we're too tight there.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Michael?
Chairman.
Oh, I was just asking the change we made under the policy we adopted earlier.
We can work that into the approval motion. Adriana, you're next.
Yes. First of all, the one that you just sent, Brian, doesn't have any numbers. I mean, have the numbers, but doesn't have the lines. And I cannot go and look at line 42 or anything but that doesn't matter. I have a general, I know that you were the most, we rely on new people in KPFA really, this year heavily on you. But what I worry, I go to what is our history, and the income statement is telling me that KPFA have a net loss every year, since 2011 to 2014. I can see that the average is for 11, 12, and 13 is $193,000 a year. From FY14 is $240,000. And I can see that you're saying that the projected now, at least was by July, was a gain or a net income of $754, but you have $1 million specific. If not, you will be under. I'm still thinking that there's something wrong. Do you use the average, like we are asking every station to use the average of the last 5 years to make these numbers, or they are just coming because, you know, I cannot see it in front of me, and I cannot compare that. But like I said, the final line is telling me that you have lost money every year since 2011. What will make the difference this year?
Well, I think the losses that you see for 2011, 12, and 13, I'm sorry, I'm getting feedback somewhere.
Hold on a second, Maria. Everybody, if you're not speaking, please mute your phone. Second, Maria.
It does show the depreciation that...
I am sorry. That's not a valid extension. Please try again.
I apologize. Everyone, listen, I need to explain. Our conference call service LoopUp has change their configuration so that when we use their mute function, which means when you do pound pound one, everybody gets that hold music for 10 seconds.
Ugh.
So if you have a hold button on your phone you can use, please use that. If not, cover the receiver with your hand and spare us the music, but stay off the pound pound one. Go ahead, Maria.
Okay, sorry. So let's see. The losses that you see are audited losses, and they do have depreciation expense. Depreciation expense is not an operating expense, therefore it doesn't show on my budget. It's 601 half dozen other. I could add depreciation expense and then back it out, or just not put it in at all. I don't know. I'm not prepared to explain the losses, the audited losses from 11, 12, and 13. I don't know, Brian, if you can help at all with that.
Well, there's no audited loss in 12. The audited loss in 13 is about the size of the CPB grant that we lost.
Yes, that's true.
It's a little bit larger than that. I think it's the CPP grant plus depreciation would basically add up to the audited loss. And in 2013, we kept getting told the CPP money is right around the corner,
And we never got it.
Right. And that same reasoning went into generating the 2014 budget. We had not been told that our funding was suspended when that budget got generated. So there's a loss in there about the size of KPFA CPB funding. I think there was also a period where we weren't getting billed regularly for central services from the national office, and weren't getting regular financial statements or financial entries from the national office. So it wasn't clear to us or many other stations in the network that we were losing money.
Right.
Both of those have been changed. Both of those situations have been changed. People like Efren are doing regular financial entries. We're able to work with good data. And KPFA's management has been able to make course corrections on a month-by-month basis here for the last year.
Does that help, Adriana?
Well, in a sense, I understand what you're saying with the CPB money, and makes sense, but that's my main concern is I'm asking every station, and I'm fighting in my own to make them. That's why I was asking you that, because you did it. Is this 2016 budget the result of the previous 5-year average? Is basically that's the idea, or is a big difference there? I will check it later on, but you did it. That's why I'm asking you the question.
Well, I wasn't. To be honest, I wasn't told to use a 5-year average. I mean, I use my own averages, for my calculations that I use for revenue and for expenses, but I wasn't given any specific direction on that. So I can't say that I used 5-year average.
I would say
Adriani, I think you can see the math behind the numbers in the budget if you go through the detail tabs, the assumption tabs, the fund drive pledge details, the development tab, the direct mail tab.
Right.
Some lines in the budget are budgeted based on trend, so they're not based on an average. If it's an expense that rises consistently, like healthcare, the budget assumes it'll go up. If it's an expense that drops steadily, the budget assumes it'll drop. And some are based on models. In other words, if we know roughly how much we raise in an average day of fundraising, then we multiply that by the number of days we're planning to fundraise.
Yeah. If you go to the tab, as Brian is saying, if you go to the tab that's called Fund Drive Pledge Details, on column E, you will see the daily averages, and those are real daily averages. Those are not guesstimates or anything, but I have taken the history from the last year or so of fund drives and come up with the average per diem, and that's where we came up with our fund drive goals.
Okay, thank you. I think that Efren was trying to talk, but I
I'm sorry, I didn't hear him.
No, no, that's okay. I think that I heard it in the meantime that you were talking.
Okay.
But what we were told, and John is here to say if it's not true or not, the only reality that we have in this foundation is that normally we are so optimistic. That's why this year I think that was a wonderful idea to give us the reality. Not what we think, not what we project, the reality. Between 2011 to 2014 is done, and almost before 2015. I was thinking that this will give us that sense of reality that we didn't have till now. Right?
Well, if you look on line 26, looking at the revenue, you see fiscal year 11, 12, and 13, 3.2, 3.6, 3.2, and I'm at 3.3 for revenue. It's pretty much on trend on for the previous years. You have to, on fiscal year 15, we had that wonderful windfall, so you'll see the 4.2, but I did not take into account that, you know, that we'd be lucky enough to get almost $1 million. But the revenue, you could see, is pretty much on schedule from previous years.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Adriana. Who was that was piping up asking to speak?
I wanted to add earlier that instead of using the average for the last 5 years, we should probably consider using the trend. The reason is, let's take the case of WBAI. 5 years ago, their level of revenue as well as expenses were in the millions. Now, if we use their figures of 5 years ago, if we consider their figures of 5 years ago, then we will be lost because we know for a fact that the current figures are far, far below from what they are having right now. So I would suggest that maybe we should use the trend of the last 2 or 3 years, where I would like to get your opinion. If it's 2 years or what, 3 years, that we should, which trend should we use?
Well, that's probably a topic for a discussion for another topic, Efren, but my sense is that we put comparison columns from prior years, though, in there so that we can see if anything looks funny, so that if we can see if budget numbers look like they're off trend. But you don't want a hard and fast rule.
Right.
In that regard, because if you have an anomalous year like KPFA just did, it would create a trend line that you couldn't budget around.
Bill for the stack again.
Okay, I've got Bill. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Bill.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I do agree. In some extent, you know, we need to look at trends. For example, we obviously shouldn't budget anything for CPB grants this year, even though if you went back 5 years, you'd have to average some of that in. But, you know, revenues have been dropping at a lot of our stations, and I'm glad KPFA has been able to hold together without extending fund drive days so much. And I know Brian told us last week that if things like the major donor income don't come through as budgeted, that you'll end up you'll extend fund drive days. Hope you don't have to do that. But I'm still troubled. I mean, of course, depreciation's not in here yet. You know, we just had that motion. And I realize if you put in the a figure under capital that's going to cancel that out, it wouldn't matter. But I think you need to look again at what Ross Wisdom recommended. Or I don't think I have the current or most recent management letter from Armenino, so I'm not exactly sure, but I don't think Ross Wisdom said exactly what Lydia had indicated before. I think that she needs to reread that, because the idea was not to cancel out depreciation. It was to put money, don't put it in as like a revenue item, which would what you'd have to do if you were canceling it out. He was saying you could instead move it to capital equipment, put money aside for that. But I don't think that's what we were talking about doing earlier, were we? Or what were we talking about doing to put under capital equipment?
So if you're having capital expenses, budget separately for those expenses, just as KPFT last year budgeted $200,000 for a transmitter upgrade, and then subtract your depreciation amount from the capital expenses you're budgeting.
Yeah, I just think that's going to guarantee you're going to have a deficit next year. I hope somebody will look at a CPA or ask a CPA what they recommend to do about this, because I don't think it's appropriate to cancel out depreciation that way. I realize it's not cash flow. I realize that the payments for that, just like the payments that KPFT will make to KPFA for our transmitter loan, it'll show us as a cash flow, you know, negative cash flow. It'll show it'll show up on KPFA's as positive cash flow, the monthly payments. Doesn't show up on income because for us, or revenue or expense, because the depreciation for the transmitter will show up every year or every month. And I think you need a depreciation. Actually, you need two depreciation line items. One is for administrative, for things like building and computers and non-programming type expenses or capital equipment. And the other would be for programming capital items, such as your transmitter and tower and whatever else that you own that's related to programming. And I don't think either one should be offset. Maybe somehow you're thinking offsetting one of those. But I think you're going to be setting yourself up for a deficit, just like Adriana was talking about, for each of those past, I don't know how many years in the audits, it does show depreciation for every station for every year, and there's no offsetting income item or capital item that makes that go away. So I think you need to ask a CPA about that if you don't believe me.
I believe, and Efren, you tell me if I'm wrong, but when you show depreciation in an audited financial statement, it's to show kind of like where you are at the end of that audited year. But it, again, it's not an operating expense, and that's why we estimate for capital expenditures. And our view on it is that unless, you know, we know what's coming down the pike. I mean, I talked to the engineer, basically it's the engineer who, you know, knows everything. And if we're going to have a capital campaign for items that potentially we're going to need, but right now I don't have anything in the capital expenditure category. Because if we can't make up the money for it, we do without it.
Okay, we're almost at time on this item. Any more discussion on KPFA's budget? I'll have a motion in a minute if we're through with questions. Okay, my motion is as follows. The National Finance Committee recommends the KPFA budget to the Pacifica National Board for approval with the following provisos. One, that the KPFA business manager adjust the budget to account for depreciation expense in accordance with the depreciation motion passed by the National Finance Committee. And two, that the PNB approve the following measure recommended by the KPFA LSB. Quote, windfall income at KPFA, for example, from reinstated CPB funding, shall be applied toward reducing total days in fund drive towards a target of 60 days per year. I've just sent a copy to the committee. Maria, I don't know when you joined the call, but we passed a motion right before you got on asking all the units to show depreciation the same way they did in last year's budgets.
Oh,
so budget
good.
The full amount in the operating budget and then zero it out under cash
sure.
and capital.
Not a problem. And I came in when you guys were passing, but I didn't know what you were passing, so.
Any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion?
Adriana,
go ahead.
Yes. I think that you mentioned before, and I think that would be good, like a proviso for all the budget, that for whatever reason, this we need to make adjustment because we didn't reach our target revenue, automatically the cuts need to be done, right?
Maria?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize the question was for me. Yes, we do agree that if we do not reach our targeted revenue, I mean, right now we have 71 days of fund drive. Was it 71? Shoot, all of a sudden it slipped my mind.
Yeah, 71.
It's 71. So we have 71 days of fund drive days. You know, we do not wish to have to increase those days, but as we go along, if, you know, I have 18 days on our major major fund drives, if we have to bump it up to 21 or 24, we'll have to look at them on a per fund drive and per where we are financially.
I want to chime in one thing on that. So the budget assumes we will raise exactly the same amount per day in each fund drive as we did the previous year,
mm-hmm.
minus 5%. In other words, it assumes we will fall 5% short on a daily basis of what we did last year. Now, KPFA, because it was able to use some of its windfall money last year to cancel its summer fund drive and advertise to our listeners that we were shrinking the amount of time we spent fundraising, has seen our daily averages go up significantly. The first week of this fall fund drive saw daily average pledges 70% higher, 70% higher than the first week of last year's fall fund drive. So as of this morning, that was a difference of $80,000 in the positive.
And I will tell you that I did calculations that if we were to achieve 100% of the current fund drive goals, 100%, we will be in the positive $91,000 at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Bill for the stack.
Okay, we are at time for the time certain KPFK item, which means we move immediately to a vote, unless you want to make a motion to extend, Bill. But we do have a date with another manager.
Well, I think we need to get an opinion from a CPA before we vote on any of the budgets. So I guess I move to table so we can get that information. A table, and next week we can do it. It won't take long.
I was under the impression that we had already had that happen in the past, and that it was
okay.
Agreed.
So a motion to table is not discussable, and we don't have time. I'm objecting to the motion to table, so I'll ask our secretary to call the roll on tabling the KPFA budget. Paul?
Yeah, give me a second. Okay, the motion is to table the current motion regarding KPFA. Lydia Brazon.
No.
Adriana Kasanov.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Brian Edwards Steaker.
No.
R. Paul Martin. Yes. Tony Norman.
No.
Michael Novick? Michael Novick? Serene Roberts?
No.
Nancy Sort?
I am sorry. That's not a valid extension. Please try again.
Nancy Sorten?
Abstain.
Am I audible now?
Hold on. Barbara Whipperman? And going back, Michael Novick.
Am I audible?
Yes, we hear you now.
Yeah, okay, it's a no vote.
No. Okay, 3-4, 5 against, 1 abstention.
The motion to table fails. We'll now move to a vote on the motion regarding KPFA's budget. Paul, do you have it in hand?
Yeah, give me a second. Okay, I should probably read this, I think, right?
Yes.
I can scroll up here and find it. Here it is. Okay.